Blog Talk Radio.
Wasn't the only one causing
to the beat, y'all. If you don't stop, a freak, freak.
Or would it be that it was all just so simple then? A teenage lover, you say, he's just a friend. He moved around and we kept in touch through his friend Mike. The world was young and we knew we couldn't rush. But whenever I got lonely or needed some advice, he gave me his shoulder. His words were very nice. But that is all behind me, 'cause now there is no other. My love is easy.
Up, got back together to get her back. I had the sweater, thought she rode with bad boys forever. In many ways, them boys made her better. To grow, I had to let her. She needed cheddar, and I understood that. Looking for cheese, that don't make her a hood rat. In fact, she's a queen to me. Her light beams on me. I love it when she sings to me. It's like that.
We got the lead to be wild on the path we choose. Good morning, world. Good morning, everyone. You are now tuned in. The last call this Sunday morning right here. Bringing it to you after a big, big competition week against all rivalries in the college football arena. College basketball is back. The NBA is heating up. And we are going to tell you and talk to you about all of this right here. Again, if you want to call us at the last call, please give us a call at 914-803-4581. That's again 914-803-4581. Or you can give us a tweet at 843_thelastcall. We will be answering questions throughout there as well. But again, I think it's only right that we jump into it really heavy after a competitive college football weekend. We had big teams take some losses here. I'm gonna start us off here.
Okay.
One of the big ones of the weekend was the Miami upset by Pittsburgh, 14-24. Miami took a hard loss here. I must say though, I watched the game and I analyzed the game, and I don't think it is at all. It is one aspect of Miami team that is very questioning, and it's that offense there. I don't know if that offense is ready to compete in a championship against a nationally ranked team, but you can say the same for Alabama, because Alabama also lost to Auburn yesterday, 14-26. I think this is going to make for a tough one. Which team do we see in the playoff? I'm not sure. Miami does take Clemson next week in the ACC championship in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that could hopefully put Clemson on top to be solidified in the playoffs. We don't know, but again, Miami's defense played very well. Alabama's defense played very well for 1-2 team, but their offense could not get it done. Malik Rozier could not get it done. Jalen Hurts could not get it done. And these are black QBs. That's another thing. Like, I was hoping that these schools, they would be dominant and like wilding and like running and throwing, but like they just could not get it done on the offensive side of the ball. And it's kind of sad here. It's kind of sad these two teams fall. It's kind of sad. Kind of sad here. I don't know if you guys got anything else to say, but I could talk about this for days here.
So what do you think about Bama losing? That's the story right now. Bama losing to Auburn.
Bama losing to Auburn. I think this is what I think here. You got two things. Alabama, first thing, is one of the only undefeated teams in the nation right there. That's number one. You can't negate that. But again, if you look at Alabama's season, they haven't really played anybody. Like, I think the most competitive ranked team they did play was Mississippi State. Mississippi State was number 16 at the time, and they beat them 31-24. But they played against a sorry LSU. They played against Mississippi, Colorado State. They killed Florida State, who's an unknown nowadays. They killed Vanderbilt. Like, their season wasn't as tough as most people would have liked to say it was. And the fact that they kind of lost to Auburn shows a different contestant there. So I think Alabama, though that they're the only undefeated team in the SEC and in the nation, one of the only few teams in the nation, I think this kind of may bode well for them. They don't have to play against Georgia. They don't have to play against Georgia in the SEC championship. Auburn now has to play them. Auburn, they did take some injuries throughout this game. I mean, if you beat Alabama, you're not going to walk out there pretty calm and cool collective. You're going to come out a little beat up, a little sore, a little back cramps, a little hurt, a little old man-ish. And they took some injuries. And now they got to go into an SEC championship game against Georgia. Who knows if they make it out there. Georgia had a pretty comfortable game against Georgia Tech this weekend. Alabama, I think, can still make it to the playoffs. I think it's hard to make the argument to say that you can't have the defending national championships from last year not at least be a contender in the playoffs this year. Just because they lost one game. When you got teams like Auburn who lost two games. You got teams like Clemson who lost a game. Like, you have a lot of teams out there. Miami now who just lost a game. It'll be curious to see how the playoffs committee does it. But I still think Alabama has a chance to be in it. I do want to say our sports analyst, college football analyst Sebastian, was incorrect on most of his calls. We're going to have to take him back to the drawing board. We're going to take him back to the drawing board here because he did not do his research or his studying. And I apologize for all fans listening to us. We're better than that. We are better than that as a committee here. And I apologize. He's not here to live up to this, but I apologize for his mistakes. I hope you didn't make any bets based on what he told you. I wouldn't do that first thing. But again, I apologize for that.
Oh, dang, man. Sebastian. So
give me you guys' take. Looking from the outside
aspect,
in. Okay, go ahead.
A little bit different. I just want to hear your thoughts on Chip Kelly. You know, he's signing on with UCLA. What do y'all think about that?
Chip Kelly. I mean, I think he's been finally. I think he's found somewhat of a space at UCLA. He is taking them to a very comfortable place. UCLA is one of those teams where I think they were good back then. Now he's like duplicated what Oregon did when he was at Oregon and brought it to like a UCLA model. I think this works well for a lot of these coaches. Like if you think about like places like Chip Kelly, you got the guy from Ohio State who left the SEC team, went to Ohio State, basically had a SEC caliber team there. You got the coach from Miami, Mark Redd, who left Georgia and came to Miami and had a caliber team, SEC caliber team there. I think Chip Kelly's kind of doing that same thing. Like he had a good program at Oregon, a very good program at Oregon. He was able to turn this school that not many people even knew about, barely even wanted to go to in the middle of nowhere Oregon, and turn that into a powerhouse school. I think he's trying to bring that same model to UCLA now. But imagine that model working in UCLA. If you're a college football in Los Angeles, imagine the turnouts that you can get if you're actually a good program. Just look at Miami. Imagine these Miami football players back then and like 4 years ago when they sucked. Now look at them now when like they're balling. They got this Miami chain out. They probably turning up all the time in Miami. Like it makes a difference when you're a powerhouse school in a big city because those perks feel a lot better. Those when you go places feel a lot better. That confidence level is boosted a lot higher. Your fans get a lot more crazier. Your fans get a lot more wilder. And you could bring that type of program mentality to these big cities such as UCLA, such as Miami. I think Chip Kelly is in that same boat. He's doing the exact same thing now. Just bringing the Oregon powerhouse offense, fast plays, up-tempo spread of revolutionizing offense to UCLA now, bringing the history back. I think this is kind of the new trend now. It's like we're trying to bring back like teams that probably used to be good powerhouses, and now they're coming back. Miami, UCLA, other works here. Clemson, who used to be back, and now they're coming back. Like now we're bringing all these powerhouse teams back to where they were and back to the glory that they were way back in the 70s and 60s.
Okay. All right. I mean, I always heard Chip Kelly fails. He ruined the Eagles. But I can see him being successful in college. Honestly, I can see him being successful in college because he definitely was not successful in the NFL. But yeah, I can see that.
I'm always curious. This is a good argument here. Is that why is it harder for a college coach to always go to the NFL, or even vice versa? What is the biggest difference here that you think college coaches are facing from this transfer?
Okay. First of all, I think it's multiple reasons that why college coaches are not always successful in the NFL. So, number one is the talent. So, usually when you're in Oregon or in Alabama, you already have, or in Ohio State or Clemson, you already have a team that's much more talented than 90% of the people you'll play. And that's why you see, like yesterday, Auburn beating Alabama. When you finally meet a team that actually can match you in talent or potential, that the games are a lot closer, if not the blowouts you see all season long. I think that's the first thing. So when you get to the NFL, everybody's talented. So you really have to be a good coach. That's the first thing. And even if you were a good coach in college, all the schemes are not the same. I feel like the NFL coaching is a lot more complex just because – everyone's a professional at this point. They do this. I mean, you're pretty much professional in college, but you literally do this 24/7. And I think Chip Kelly tried to run a really simplistic offense, and I think that's where he faulted because the defensive schemes could just read right through it. And that's actually interesting because Doug Peterson is running a simplistic college style offense for the Eagles, but they're doing really well. But if you can execute it, then you'll see good results, but not everybody can execute it. I also think Chip Kelly was stubborn. He doesn't understand that you still need stars in the NFL to do well. Like,
true.
He traded LeSean McCoy, Deshaun Jackson. I mean, what do you expect?
Those are your boys, though. You sound biased. I think you're biased in that whole issue.
No, I'm not biased. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, Shady was still balling out after he got traded, so clearly it wasn't Chip Kelly's scheme. DeSean Jackson was still balling the first couple years after he got traded. I just think that really hurt his stock, and I think he lost his locker room when he did that. I don't think the guys believed in him anymore. So I
can see that.
I think there's a lot of factors.
I mean, then we look at people like Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll's he's successful. I mean, you cannot say he's not successful at Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
When we look at people like him, I think what helps him the most is, like, he built a cast around him, like, in his coaching. Like, his offensive coordinator was a coach in the NFL for about 10 years. Like, he built a cast around him that kind of had a hold on how to understand the NFL, and Pete Carroll allowed that to influence kind of his decision and his decision-making. I think Chip Kelly came in with a mindset that would be like, I'm going in here, I'm doing this program, I'm doing it the way I want to, ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. I'll take your input if I really wanted to, but not really because I ain't going to listen to you. I'm going to still run my spread offense. I'm going to find me a quarterback that can run it. If a quarterback ain't going to mess with it, you're going to be out of there. And I think that mentality kind of hurt him, and that methodology kind of hurt him a little bit. Whereas if Pete Carroll came in kind of open to all the people that had the experience in the NFL and then figured out a plan around that. Like, Chip Kelly already had a plan of, like, this worked at Oregon. I think it worked at a different school he was at before Oregon. And, like, this is where success came from. And, like, and he was a little hard. That little hard-headedness kind of hurt him a little bit.
Okay.
And then Chip Kelly had a game with Michael Vick, right? It was, like, in 2013. Yeah, okay.
That was his best year, by the way. I just
want
to point that out there. As much flack as Michael Vick receives, that was Chip Kelly's best year coaching. Oh, he had Nick Foles too, but no one had any film on Nick Foles. So,
understandable.
Yeah. I really hope that Bama doesn't make it to the final again. It's time to see somebody new.
What do you mean? Who would not want to see this is college football for you right here. Who would not want to see an Alabama Clemson matchup? That's like saying going to the NBA and being like, oh, like, I'm tired of seeing Golden State and Cleveland play each other. That's crazy because that is the best matchup in the NBA currently. Any other matchup goes to the NBA with either one of those teams is not going to be fun to watch. It's not going to be entertaining.
Whoopsie.
It's not going to be sports entertainment.
Whoopsie.
Cleveland NBA is another
matchup, first of all, though.
NBA is another story.
Yeah,
that's the latest segment.
Not the best matchup. Okay, guys, so just switching gears a little bit. I don't know if everyone heard, but Alabama, this is switching to college basketball. Alabama, they got themselves in a bit of a predicament yesterday.
They did.
They were playing Minnesota, and they almost won with three players, with only three players, playing 3-on-5. Did you guys see that?
I do. 84-89. They got three. Wasn't it three players like in the fourth quarter? Like the entire bench got ejected.
In the second half. Yeah, the entire.
Somebody fouled out.
Yep.
And then
somebody got hurt.
The star point guard got hurt, and they played
McCollum
3-5.
Scored 40 points. They almost won.
I mean,
if you're Minnesota, what do you take from this game?
I think you don't deserve to be number 14. I'm going to put it as simple as that. If you allow a team with three players.
Go ahead. Quit. That's like unacceptable. There's no way. 5-on-3, that it should be that close of a game. That's literally ridiculous.
And I should have went through it. It was down the street.
Three. Yeah,
I should have went there live in the right. It seemed like it was at Barclays Center. I missed that one. I should have went down there. Got some live action and seen these bums, Minnesota, almost lose to a team with three players in college basketball.
You can literally double two people at all times. What?
Literally.
But the crazy part is, if you look at this video, I was watching a video.
That's horrible.
There's one point they put 3-on-1. Why? Why do you have three players guarding one person at one point? This is
sad.
They
were triple teaming Colin Sexton because he had 40 points. That's
Are
how
you
score 40 points with three players.
Are you serious?
Oh, that's amazing. That's
that
amazing.
That is sad.
That is
I got to
give
it to Alabama. They were ranked 25, but they should definitely increase in rankings after this.
They should move up because now Minnesota don't look like a number 14 team. They just don't look like a number 14 team.
If that happens to Kentucky or Duke, I just feel like you're going to lose by 50. But
I mean, I think
Minnesota.
Most ranked college teams you would definitely lose by. Like, I'm looking at – I continue to watch these videos. This college Sexton dude, first thing, put this team on his back just now throughout these past 3 minutes. He really put the team.
Yes, he did.
But the fact out of these 3 minutes that Minnesota couldn't score on three players, can we first look at that? Because they stayed at 86 for a whole 4 minutes against three players. You have five, somebody's open. Like, how?
Literally. No, two people are open. And if they double, three people are open. That's ridiculous.
I have not ever seen this. I literally looked. I'm like, oh, they really haven't moved from 83 for quite some time. It's been 3 minutes. Now we had a minute 43. Now we have 45 seconds. And you telling me you couldn't score? You couldn't score more than that?
I really think they're a strong candidate. They're a strong candidate for Donkey of the Day tomorrow. I mean, there's no other excuse for this. This is ridiculous.
I've never seen such a thing here. I never. Sorry. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back to college basketball. I think there's some more to be talked about there. As college basketball picks up, I mean, everyone has a team, and we'll go around that axis and see what that team is for each person here. You're tuned in to The Last Call. Again, please give us a call at 914-803-4581 or tweet us at 843_TheLastCall. You're tuned in, baby.
Hot fudge and a little smoke. I didn't mean it means nothing to you. Hands locked on my black couch with nothing to do. Can't stop on cloud 20. Buried in the drugs, but the feels keep coming. Finally stopped crying, but your nose still running.
Yeah.
Wipe it on my shirt. I'm asleep. You tell me that you want to do it, babe. I love it when you say, guess what? Sorry to my mother, nigga, kid. And I wonder why I'm all messed up. Cause we gotta be responsible sometimes. Be a class act, never mind my alumni. I don't wanna be around a baby so dumb high that I don't see the beauty of a mama on inside. Curled up with my head on your chest, it's the best remedy for the pain and the stress. If the world doesn't change, then we'll never get dressed. It'll be like this to the kiss of the death of my soul. Soul of the blue dream, no, not a good team. One soul, two halves. No joke, who laughs? Just us.
Just us. Just us.
Okay, got this OJ and Jose. Mixed it up with that rosé. We gon' do this our own way, alright. Okay, what is it that you're smoking? Piece it up with this peace and love. And this peace and love like the okay. Yeah, what I am trying.
Hear ye, let's toast, let's celebrate life, let's celebrate wealth, and bypass plight for the night. Drinks up.
DJ Omega. Omega.
Back like I never ever left in the first, while like a vest in the best on the earth. Careers by the end of my year, two quarts when you mention my gear, low, 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 low showboat, nigga says Moco, rose for the hoes in the VIP, gotta do them all like T.I., whatever you like, cause whatever the night, I might give you the pipe, unless you pedal and bikes, I mean cycling, I was liking it, hit me up a couple days, we can try again, I need Henny on the rock, my queen top notch, and I keep a fly girl like Jenny from the block, I hate you women, Frostburg women, throw around game, Strasburg kitchen, tonight no pitches, everything straight, and we gon' toast up for the niggas that hate. We gon' drink dark, we gon' take it to the face. And I got some gold bottles, first place. No metal here, I'm well aware. Y'all Mario brothers, I'm Metal Gear. I don't never fear nothing, I'm forever here. Hands up, DJ, let them hear.
You're not feeling
go.
Perfect. Two shots to the head, he deserve it. Overheard him a bit with a bowl and remote control. Dark wing duck lost service. Mama said I better duck, she's nervous. Drama haul up in the cut, hit the curtain. I mean, don't intervene with no gun machine. This black stay jerking, the feds stay lurking, emerging on everybody corner dash. Get a toe tag when you play tag with the task of a new task. Everybody wanna know my life, how did I make it past? Well, let me tell you like this, I've been running this shit since I had cartoons and cereal.
So that right there was a little cartoon of cereal by little Kendrick Lamar, the guy, the myth, the legend who's come to be. Right now we're at about 10:47, an hour and some changes to the show. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to talk about some NBA basketball. You know, we have the two sports analysts here who are going deftly and going top, going deft onto them and have the most in-depth knowledge about the sport. And here we go. We're about to turn it up. Bryson, take it away.
Okay, so it's that time of the show when we got to do buy or sell. So I'm going to give a couple teams, and we're going to see if we're buying or selling. Okay, so first, let's talk about the Cavs. Are we buying or selling, and why? I'll go last. Kenny, what do you think? Buy or selling the Cavs?
You already know I'm putting a million on Cavs.
oh, gosh.
Without a doubt. Correction, I'm putting a million on LeBron. No, it's LeBron. I don't know what he's doing. He's like a human cheat code, left trigger, right bumper, X, X, Y. He's just on another level. Like, I've been watching this guy play for 15 years, and for some reason, every year, like, I can honestly say he, like, adds a new level to his game. And that's crazy. Like, I feel like you can't say that about any other player. And this year, he's shut up all his critics about him shooting. Somehow, he bought a jumper from eBay or Amazon Prime, I'm not sure. And it's literally consistent. His confidence in that jump shot is crazy. And when he's knocking those shots down, it makes him 10 times harder to guard, as if he's not already hard enough to guard. And he just finds a way to bring his team to win all the time. He's not just one of those players who, like, get 40 points and lose. Like, he knows how to bring his team. He knows how to get his teammates to get better. He's basically like a second coach on the floor. I'm putting my money on LeBron. That's what it is.
Okay. All right. Pat, do you have an opinion? You unsure
on LeBron?
What you think? You buying
I mean,
the
I'm,
on the Cavs. On the Cavs, not on LeBron. On the Cavs.
Oh, okay. sorry.
Well, I'm buying LeBron. But.
I'm buying on LeBron. LeBron and the Cavs. LeBron and the committee.
Wow. Okay.
I think I'm gonna buy on them as well. I think I'm gonna agree with what Kenny said on that. LeBron and the committee is one hell of a team. And I think once they mesh together, once the committee comes across as like supporting LeBron as well as they should be, I think they have a good chance at this. Nonetheless, though, Derrick Rose, my favorite player. He's a little unsure about sports. I mean, he goes through these waves, man. He goes through these waves of just where he's like, I want to play basketball. I don't know if I want to play basketball. I hurt my knee. I kind of want to play basketball and be athletic. Like, he goes through these waves. He might be a girl in this period. Like, I don't know what's wrong with the kid, actually, sometimes. So, he just has me. Okay. He makes me worry sometimes. He makes me worry. But nonetheless, I think he'll come around and come back to play basketball the way he wants to once he gets healthy, and then he fulfills the need for the Cavaliers and the committee.
Okay, all right. So unfortunately, I hate to tell both of you that you're wrong, but you're wrong. And I don't actually hate to tell you that because I'm right and you're wrong. And here's why. Here's why. First of all, of course, LeBron. He's MVP every year. I'm not disputing that. LeBron is great. Yes, we know he's great. He even bought a jump shot on eBay this year, and the subscription has been renewed. Again, actually, he bought it in the finals last year. The subscription has been renewed. But I'm not buying the Cavs, not for one second. They still have too many issues to work out. Maybe later, maybe if they make some trades, maybe then I'll buy. But right now, no. They won 7 in a row, and it's a little bit of a mirage. They played the Dallas Mavericks. That was their first win of the 7-game win streak. Dallas Mavericks are horrible. They played the Knicks. They
That's
won
the
by Dallas' three.
Favorite team.
They played the Knicks. They won by 3. Then they played the Hornets, who are horrible without Kemba Walker on the floor. I will note, though, that they've changed the defensive scheme to blitzing opponents. So basically, whenever there's a pick, they blitz the person on the ball, and LeBron James has taken up the defensive assignment of guarding the other team's best player in the fourth quarter. That's notable. But still, it's the Hornets. And
he said nonetheless.
Kemba needs to go to the weight room. They went to overtime on the Clippers, and they won. And the Clippers don't have Patrick Beverley. Danilo Gallinari is hurt. And
trust the process.
Yeah, they're a shell
of the former
team.
I don't
trust this process at all. If you actually look at the notable stats from each game, we see LeBron James leading pretty much every category every night. And that's horrible when you think about them playing a better team like the Golden State Warriors or Houston Rockets, for example. And then they beat Detroit, and they smacked Detroit. And I think that's the one good win they have. That's a solid win because Detroit is pretty good. And then they beat the Brooklyn Nets, struggled that game, and LeBron once again had to do it himself. And then they played the Hornets again, and LeBron had a triple-double. I'm not buying it. Their defense is still suspect. They've just been playing horrible teams, so they've been able to get away with it. If you try to blitz the Warriors or the Houston Rockets, you'll lose by 40, so they need to come up with something else. I'm selling.
You need to put your money in the right place. Trust LeBron
no. No, I'm selling. There's no way you're going to get me. I need to cut my losses. I'm not believing in the Cavs this year. Everyone else will say I'm crazy, but I don't believe in them. I just think the Eastern Conference isn't as good. Now, the next team to buy and sell on, what about the Celtics? What do we say?
Well, I don't think they're going to win a championship, but to buy that, like, I mean, they're going to be a successful team this year. I think that's an easy buy.
Eastern Conference Finals or no?
Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah.
No, I don't buy that. As long as LeBron
okay.
is playing.
So you're selling.
So yeah,
you
I'm selling.
You don't buy them making it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Oh, they're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I buy that. Now,
okay.
are they going to win the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't buy that.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's the best way for Kenny to beat around that bush.
Yep.
I think they're gonna make it to the finals. I can buy that. I mean, sorry, I think they're gonna make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I can buy that. You know, their defense is clearly like top of the line. They found a way to like fuel the fire without one of their second best players, Gordon Hayward. Even when Horford sat out and Irving was out, everybody came to perform. I feel like they have energy all the way, all across 15 players. Their coach is obviously probably the best coach in the league after Popovich.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr just has talent. No offense, Steve Kerr. and yeah, you know, so with all that being said, I think like, yeah, they give teams consistently over the past couple of years, they've given like the best teams a tough time.
That's
but for some reason, they just can't figure it out in the Eastern Conference Finals. That could be because of LeBron, obviously. And so, yeah, that's why I'm not buying for them going to the finals. Because LeBron.
Hmm. Okay. Pat, what say you?
The Celtics, I am not buying. I am selling the Celtics. I think... Yes, they're going to be a good regular season team. I don't think that's not a problem there. I just don't see them doing well in the playoffs. I just don't. I think they're going to struggle in the playoffs just based on Kyrie is the oldest, most wisest person. And, again, Kyrie himself is still pretty young. I mean, you have
and
Al
he thinks
Horford
the earth
there.
Is flat, not that wise.
You have Al Horford there who, again, Al Horford hasn't really played in, like, a – high caliber championship game. He's only played in a few playoffs. And again, he's played on a team, Atlanta Falcons, who hasn't made it that far in those playoffs. So again, I think like I'm not buying Celtics at all. I think they still have some time in them. We'll see how they grow. It'll be interesting.
Okay. So I'm going to side with Brad Stevens here. He came out this week and said that the Celtics' 16-game win streak was a mirage. And I agree. Looking at the strength of their opponents, they haven't played anyone. And he says we're definitely not as good as our record. And if anyone knows, it's Brad Stevens. And, yeah, he said that. Quote, we're definitely not as good as our record. End quote. And I said, okay, I'm going to side with Brad Stevens here. I was already skeptical anyway because they hadn't played anyone. They only have two notable wins. Really one, if you think about it, because the first one was against an early OKC, and I think they lost after that, but then they won against Golden State. That was a notable win. But Golden State looked like they didn't really care. They weren't too interested in the game. And they're not built for the playoffs. That's what I'm telling you. I think they'll continue to do well in the regular season. But without Gordon Hayward, they don't have anyone besides Kyrie and Jaylen Brown. I don't really count Al Horford because he's not an impact player. He's a consistent.
True.
He's more
True.
Of a like a star role player. And if Jaylen Brown can really get going, they can have a chance. But still young, he still has he needs time to develop. I think he will be the best player on the Celtics roster in a year or two. But he's still young. I'm selling.
True.
The Houston Rockets. Are we buying or selling? I'm just gonna go ahead and say I'm buying it.
Boom.
I'm buying. I'm buying.
Boom.
I'm buying. I think Chris Paul finally got his break.
Just
they
like
look amazing. Man. You said what?
I said just like you bought Lance Stevens.
Oh shoot.
No. Lance is still the best player in the league, but that's in a whole nother discussion.
Right. What the G?
Yeah. I'm buying the Houston Rockets. They look amazing. They beat notable opponents. And they've beat them in a convincing fashion. Their defense is horrible, yes, but it doesn't look like anybody's defense is really good in the league besides the Celtics and OKC. And only one of those teams have the star power to actually compete in the playoffs against other teams with star power. So I'm buying the Rockets. Kenny,
Boo.
It sounds like you're selling.
Boo. I am selling all the way.
Oh, my
God. I'm selling all shares.
You're making a mistake.
Kenny's not having any of it.
I'm selling all shares on James Harden and his play. He's literally like the the new and it's like the new disguised Carmelo. You know, you point fill your stats or whatever, but you really bring the team down. You fucking suck. Listen. Yo, listen, the season, don't fall into the hype of the season. The season is like a joke. Like, dude, they did the same thing last year. You're killing teams, blowing them out in offense. You're shooting all these threes, blah, blah, blah. You're like, morale when the game starts. However, in the playoffs, that stuff does not work. In the playoffs, teams start to play defense. In the playoffs, you can't play defense. You trying to outscore teams to win, like, that should not be your goal. And they try that really in the playoffs. That's not working in the playoffs. Like, you're not going to win by trying to win. And they're going to do that against
Chris Paul comes in.
Chris Paul is one player, and he's a point, and he's a 6 foot point guard. He's not. not going to defend Draymond Green or like you know like KD. Like it's not. There's one player on the team who's playing defense. And it's
You're missing the point. James Harden and Steph Curry are in the same defensive class. Trash. They both belong in the garbage aisle. The
difference between James Harden and Steph Curry is that Steph Curry is surrounded by some of the top defenders in the league. However, James Harden
Houston
is not.
Houston can defend. Houston can defend, though. They can defend as a team. Minus James Harden. They will be able to
defend Hornets
as a team. Oh, God. Oh, shots fired at the Hornets.
Aside from P.J. Tucker and Chris Paul, like, and Clint Capela at times.
Trevor Ariza can strap.
No, he can't. Clint Capela's defense
is
overrated. Like, a lot. But, like, one-on-one defending, like, he's really not going to, like, people will blow by him. He's pretty slow. That's 2.5 players who are playing, like, solid defense. That's terrible. That is literally terrible. They're not gonna survive against like really good teams, like Spurs when Kawhi Leonard come back. They're not going to survive in the playoffs against the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard. They're not going to survive against OKC when they get it figured out. They're not going to survive against the Golden State Warriors. Like, sell that all the way. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. All right. Okay, Pat, what say you?
I'm going Kenny on that. I'm going to have to sell.
Oh my God.
I'm not believing the hype. I'm not believing the hype. I think they can extend it all. I'm just not.
All right. I think you guys are making a great mistake here.
I think I'm getting my money.
Oh, my gosh.
Yo, what other Rockets are going to – what other Rockets going to make defense a part of their culture?
They're actually not doing that horrible on the defensive end. They're not doing that terrible.
The only reason it looks like they're not doing that terrible is because they're literally just outscoring teams. And then
they're in the top 7 in defensive rating.
You want to know why? Because by the third quarter, they have 90 points and the team gives up. And I'm telling you, that works now because it's the season. But in the playoffs, that's not going to happen. It's just the playoffs is when they start defending like it's college basketball.
That's true. I mean, Golden State's only – so do you have the same argument about Golden State? They're only fifth in defensive rating.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to turn the notch up once it comes playoff time. And, yeah, I definitely think they're going to turn the notch up when it's playoff time.
Okay. I mean, we're obviously all buying Golden State.
I think everyone's buying Golden State.
unless you get your head.
Buying Golden State.
Like, if you're not buying Golden State, you're not watching basketball. That's what it is. Or you are just a hater.
I just
want to
say, Klay Thompson,
and I hate them,
like 20-plus points.
Yeah, and Steph and KD, so it's just a problem. Okay, last one before we move on to something more serious. OKC buying or selling. Take us away, Kenny.
I think I'm going to buy on OKC. I really think once they figure out their I feel like they're the only team figuring out their Carmelo problem right now.
Oh my God.
The Knicks couldn't figure out Carmelo. The Nuggets clearly couldn't figure out Carmelo. So for for some reason, OKC is finding a way to make it work with Carmelo. People think Carmelo's like a cancer, whatever, to the team. But I think OKC is going to make it work. They find a way to incorporate him into the defense as well, which usually isn't his strong suit because, well, the argument is that he can actually defend, but it never was his role. So now it's kind of his role. But, yeah, and OKC, they show, like, their defense is literally ridiculous at this point.
They're number two in the league.
On the offensive end, they're struggling, but that's just because they got a bunch of new players and they're trying to figure out the flow. Things aren't too fluid right now, which I think, obviously, by the time playoff time comes, they would have figured it out. They've already demonstrated their potential, especially during that Golden State Warriors game.
What did you think of that game? I'm curious.
I think it was very personal.
I think that was the first time I've seen OKC try for 48 minutes.
That's true.
That was the first time this season.
They tried.
Do you think the Warriors took it as serious as OKC did?
I think they did in the first half. But I think they gave up. They were like, in the sense that they were like, oh, we'll see them again. It's not that serious. I think they gave up in the second half because they didn't expect OKC to come out like that.
They did it.
And I don't think they were ready for the new look OKC. It wasn't just, okay, we're going to triple team Russell Westbrook.
But I'm not giving them that excuse. GSW came out trying, thinking it was like any other team.
Yeah, they did.
Thinking Russell was not going to be on that night. And I know it's personal because KD's there, and GSW already said it before that whenever they go against OKC, they're like trying. They basically have KD's back because they know what it's going to be like. So they're going out there, support KD, et cetera. So it's like, yeah, y'all try. Y'all take your L, embrace it. Hopefully you're there for the next time. But just know that it's like, but it's that thing again. It's like, why is OKC all of a sudden bringing out their full greatness against GSW, but then they'll go lose to, like, Sacramento Kings or something? It's like, come on. Can you be consistent and put the same effort and energy?
That's true. That's true.
But I, like
I think they're definitely built for the playoffs, though.
Yeah, see, that's the issue.
The question is, will they make it to the playoffs?
They don't take every game seriously.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's the question. Will they make it to the playoffs? I think Paul George is a different player in the playoffs for the better. Carmelo is definitely born for the playoffs because he's not born for – he's only born for, like, honestly, the last 4 minutes of a game. so, literally, he can sit for the entire regular season, come back in the playoffs and cook. And, you know, Russell rises to the occasion all the time. It's only James Harden who shrinks in those big moments of OKC's former big three.
Damn.
Yeah, he's the only one who shrinks in the big moments. If you remember – them playing the Heat. He had a terrible finals. Russell and KD both went off. Russell always goes off. KD always goes off. So I think they're both for the playoffs, but I'm not sure they can make it to the playoffs with their current record. So I'm not sure whether I'm buying or selling. If I had to lean one way, I would say buy, but it's getting a bit frustrating. But, yeah, I support. I trust Russell. I trust Russell to pull it together and get it together.
And Paul George.
And Steven Adams and Jeremy Grant. I trust Jeremy Grant's defense.
Steve Adams, a.k.a. Drogo, has surprised me this year.
Yeah. Like, they actually have good pieces. Yeah, they have good pieces. They need to pull it together. And they have, like, stretches where they look amazing and stretches where they look horrible.
Facts.
Offensively, anyways.
You said what?
So... I said offensively anyways.
But, that's a good problem to have. That's a great problem to have, that your defense is clearly, like, one of the top right now, and you're kind of struggling on offense, but as in the reality of it, you have Russ, PG, and Melo on your team. So clearly
that is a good problem to have.
Eventually. That's a good problem to have.
That is a good problem to have. I agree. So switching gears a little bit, what do y'all think about D-Rose?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I said it. He's my guy. I hope he comes back. Uh-huh. I hope he understands that basketball is for him, that he can't do nothing else because he didn't graduate fully from Memphis. I apologize for the situation at the hand currently. And he needs to understand that he just got to, you know, focus up and get healthy. He needs to understand that certain ways he drives to the basket, he shouldn't be driving anymore. Even though he still thinks he's like 18 and finishing the way he is, you're old. Your body is broken, beat up.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to at some point rack it up and figure out a way to adjust your game based on how your body is. Let's look at Ginobili. Ginobili ain't doing the same old stuff he was doing when he was 18, 20 in the league. Ginobili has switched it up a little bit. He got a little balder. He got a little wiser. He's made amends to his game here to base it on his age. He's not playing as many minutes anymore. He's not being as athletic as he was. Yes, he's still maybe dunking every now and then again, but when he goes to the basket, he finishes smoothly. Not aggressively, not forcefully, smoothly.
Stop. First of all, Pat, you're beyond disrespectful. There goes this 29 years old. Monty Ginobili is 40 years old. Of course he's changed his game. He's 40 years old.
You got to add plus 10 to Derrick Rose's age, bro.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Jesus. I honestly just hope Derrick Rose figures out how to get through this. I know he'll be back. Ball is life, and he understands that, I think, more than most people. I also think the NBA has to do a better job of protecting him. There's no
what do you
way,
mean?
There's no way James Harden should go to the line 10 times a game for those horrible, horrible calls where he swings his arm up and foul, and Derrick Rose is throwing his body around, people hitting him, taking his legs out from under him, and he gets no calls.
At all.
And the same thing with Russell. Like, Russell goes to the line 6 times a game. And LeBron James, anybody who's super athletic, they're just not calling it. I don't understand what that is, but the refs got to do a better job.
Dude, teams, players literally, like, don't even go for the ball on LeBron James because they know it's not going to work. They literally try to help him. And for some reason, he still doesn't go to the line that much a game. So clearly there's something wrong here, like,
I mean,
but I feel like
they treat it like,
oh, since you're strong and athletic, that, you know, I shouldn't call the foul.
Yeah.
It's kind of dumb. Like, I don't think that's the
way
it
should subjective. Work. Refereeing is a subjective thing at the end of it. They have rules that they base off any decision that they call off of. But, again, it's all subjective. It's going to be subjective upon the referee. So the referee feel like, oh, LeBron gets hat as much, but this dude makes it look like it's easy, even though he's falling and all that other stuff. It's fine. I think this is what I think. I think people like James Harden and that the Houston Rockets, they're complaining about it a lot more. Because, like, you can make a case to say that this is your best player, and if he gets injured, like, that's your season, that's your tickets, that's your money, and that affects your economy of your team. I think you can make those types of cases to the NBA. I can't say Cleveland's making those exact same cases for their players. I can't say the Knicks are making those types of cases for them, for their players. I can't say Houston Rockets owners, though, are making cases like that. I can't say just Warriors owners are making those cases of that sort. And I think that is kind of the difference of how, like, the dynamics of the economy of the NBA comes into play.
I think this is definitely on the refs. If Derrick Rose never plays another game for the rest of his life, I think the refs should take that personally and they should realize that that's their fault.
They won't, though. They still get paid. It don't affect their paycheck if he don't play.
Rose has appeared in an average of 46 games out of the 82 after his 2011 MVP. That's basically he played half the games of the season. That is terrible on average after his award in 2011. So I can see his frustration right now where he's like, dude, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I could see it's likely he'll come back.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, this isn't pickup. The referees aren't going to
take it first.
It is, though.
But this isn't pickup. This isn't pickup.
Pick
this is the best.
Until your owner say something.
Yeah, but these are the best athletes in the world, hitting you, throwing you on the ground, taking your legs out, and no car. This isn't some old, fat, retired person with hoop dreams playing you, playing three-on-three and pickup. This is people
Patrick
coming
Beverly,
at your neck. Patrick
Beverly,
Patrick Beverly
hit Lonzo Ball. Hit Lonzo Ball like he was playing ball in the jailhouse. What do you mean it ain't pickup? You got players like Patrick Beverly out here trying to fight people. On the court.
But Lonzo still got the call. If you remember, he knocked him down to the ground like he was a little boy, and the ref blew his whistle. Protected Lonzo Ball, won't protect Derrick Rose.
That's because the Lakers owner has a lot more power than doggone Cleveland Cavaliers owner. I'm telling you, it's a political thing to do. Agree.
When politics meets sports.
But it's followed him everywhere he's gone, from the Bulls to the Knicks, and now it's the Cavs.
Those are all three teams that have no power, basically. The Knicks don't got no type of power. The Knicks, the fans hate the doggone owners of the Knicks. He more worried about the fans than doggone what his players are involved with.
We're going to need Dan Gilbert to come through and, you know, protect Derrick Rose. But that's if Derrick Rose decides to come back. He hasn't communicated with a lot of the members of his team over the past couple of weeks. So I don't know.
It'd be like that.
A lot to think about. I mean, injuries can take a toll on you. Like, I'm sure you guys can all, you all know, yeah, your fair share of injuries. But imagine having that back-to-back every single year and missing, like, half of your season slash your whole season. It's kind of like, all right, dude. Mentally, it's kind
of, it's really exhausting.
It's
exhausting. I agree. And you saw this happen before. This isn't the first time. Derrick Rose isn't the first player this happened to. Dwayne Wade actually says he remembers this. It reminds him of when he was thinking about retirement because the refs also ruined his career.
That's so true.
Yeah, and he never got called. He was super athletic. He's still athletic. He's super athletic. People knocking him to the ground, playing jail ball, and no call. So,
welcome to the league.
Protect your ass.
Tough enough.
Welcome to the league.
Okay, all right, guys, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right back at it. Live and direct. You tune into the last call.
Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, anyhow, bad man now, pow, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, anyhow, be the man of my day now, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, next tune make number one tune, yeah, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, Zaga, yeah, Zaga Zao, Zaga Zao, be the man of the girls, them sugar, the girls, them red cross lover, the girls, them need it, cigar, when me love them, she a pump sugar. Yeah, the man them with the girl admire. Just the girl that make them ball up with your jaw. And me got the girls them power. You be cool on my ass, sing like the Amanda. Zaga, zaga, zaga. Wow, wow. Zaga, 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 zaga.
Excuse me, baby, but I will just have to tell you this. What? It's been a while since I done my year in your tenderness. Oh. You come for cooler, back your shape, and another cherry lip. And you alone, me want to fit a glove up and then make it. And I want to show you I'm a man that's very romantic. But choose a baby, choose a girl, that's all me never itch. Nothing got to you, see me now, and you me want to fit it. But listen when me sing this, knock your ticket. Any man of the girls, them sugar. The girls, them rush across the bar. Me love them shape and figure. You know them need this. Yeah, the man them with the girls them admire. With the girls them love me by the hour. When me come with the girls them power. Look it down and hear when my heart is there. Zaga 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 Zaga. Yeah.
water and trees our line.
Line.
You watch on mine,
mine.
Me a Joe grind.
Right.
You get the money and me kill her with the wine.
Wine.
When you're there, work,
work.
She there for your mind.
Mine.
But today your Neptune's theater, daytime. Cash! When I write me and I call me and I tell me that my brother Richie Poe just hit the jackpot. But through the fashion and the ways and the style you got, me the man of the girls, them sugar. The girls, them real class lover. The girls, them need this nigga. They love them shape and figure. Love the girl, them by that hour. Let them ball and cry for them mother. Now you know me and the girl, them power. Who look cool and listen my heart to play.
Right there is a little I'm Leaving by Most depth, guys. And if you're just tuning in, again, this is The Last Call. The Last Call. We have a few minutes left here. We want to go into it short. It is your Sunday afternoon. We know you've been listening to us. We know you're getting ready for your NFL sports coming up today. And I just want to say that Cowboys, as we never disappoint, or as sometimes as we do, nonetheless, we will prevail. I'll say it before anyone else says it. We took a few hard losses this week. But nonetheless, we'll come back well-rounded at some point in the near future. With that being said, wrap up of the scores real quick. As we had on Thursday, we had the Chargers versus the Cowboys holiday game season. Cowboys, we disappointed, 28-6. Giants-Redskins was not a bad game. 10-20, Redskins took that one out as the Giants came off their, second win of last week, beating the Chiefs, which was still a disappointing loss. Today, though, coming up at 1 p.m. as soon as we get off this show, we got the Browns and the Bengals, the Panthers, the Jets, the Titans and the Colts, the Bucks and the Falcons. Another big game, the Dolphins and the Pats. And then the Bears and the Eagles rounds up that 1 o'clock circle of NFL games here. The Eagles may take a hard loss against the Bears. You never know. I think the Falcons will take out the Bucks. I think the Pats and the Dolphins will be a close game, but the Pats could take off the Dolphins. Jets and Panthers. Panthers have been looking good. Jets have not been looking too bad every now and then. I think the Panthers will take that one. And Titans, Colts. I think the Colts will take that one. Anything you guys want to add to the football roundup coming up today?
I just want to point out, you said the Eagles were going to lose twice to the Dallas Cowboys, I believe. I mean, come on. Are you okay?
I said in the future.
Come on, son.
Come on.
I just want to make a prediction that on Thursday, the Redskins are going to beat the Cowboys.
I agree.
All right. Let's just throw that out there. We all know it's going to happen.
That's aggressive, but okay. Maybe. We lost our star running back, who's now overseas. So I think it's unfair to say what we're winning and what we're losing currently because we don't have our best player. That's like you guys saying you guys would be successful without Carson Wentz.
Now it's unfair. I just want to point out, arguably the top five left tackle in football was hurt. Jason Peters was hurt on the Eagles. He's been hurt for several weeks, and we've still been smacking teams like you. So.
Oh shit. What are you doing? That.
Who? Ezekiel.
What is he doing overseas?
He's working out and relaxing, getting his mind right.
Yeah.
No,
he's trying to figure out a way to leave the Cowboys. Exactly. Exactly. He's trying to figure out how to get out of his contract with the Cowboys.
That is not the case at all. If that was the case, he wouldn't be the leading rushing running back before he got suspended.
And he wants Cowboys, to know how he can get out so he can continue his career winning.
You know what? The Cowboys franchise is surviving off the fact that it's America's team. That's the only thing that's keeping that franchise afloat. They need to, just give it a rest.
I mean, I think it's more than just America's team. We are the team. We are probably we're the best team that anybody wants to be.
I don't know what's worse, Cowboys fans or Sixers fans over the past 6 years.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, help me.
That's just wrong.
Dang.
Y'all looking like the 76ers over the past.
They look worse than that.
Do we got to trust the process?
You have to trust the process.
Is that what it is? Oh, man.
You trust the process with the boys, you're going to come out successful.
No, you're going to lose all your money.
And that's real.
Yeah, you're going to lose.
Are
you buying or selling on the Cowboys?
I'm buying.
What?
In the future.
What?
A five-year contract.
What?
Wow.
I'm buying a five-year contract on the Cowboys.
So are you buying or selling the team? Will they make the playoffs?
I'm buying and selling a contract.
Will they make the playoffs?
They'll make the playoffs in 5 years.
Oh.
I'll buy the 5-year contract and hold it down.
This right here, ladies and gentlemen, is
Sports Talk Radio at its finest.
This is a bitter fan. This is a bitter fan who can't accept the reality of this team.
The reality that they'll be that their future. Trust the process.
Garbage.
Garbage. The haters will trust the process.
Garbage.
Horrible.
All right, guys.
Where's your garbage coming?
All right, guys.
It was a hot
that's the end of our show. It's been a great one. Please tune in next week as we talk about how the Eagles have failed us, how OKC continues to thrive, how Golden State Warriors continues to have fun, and how Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron and the committee continue to build their team. Thank you for tuning in.
It's a mirage.
Thank you for listening.
Have a good Sunday, everybody.
Have a good Sunday.